One.
Rewind. Your Week in Review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
This week on Rewind, Your Week in Review. After much anticipation, lawmakers have revealed the framework to give local governments more cash, but there's a catch. Plus, we're learning from the latest negotiations on tax cuts for Wisconsinites. And Senator Ron Johnson renews calls for a referendum to address abortion laws. All this and more on Rewind, Your Week in Review for April 28th.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
J.R., we have a lot to unpack because one of the biggest stories that came out of the Capitol this week was a shared revenue proposal. But just let people know, we don't actually have a bill itself, but you have done a lot of work over the past week to get a lot of details about what this more state aid, for local communities and what it means. We did get somewhat of a framework of what Republicans want to do. Now, this was the plan put forth by Assembly Republicans, but there's been a lot of people involved, including Milwaukee leaders, because there's a big aspect of the city in this. Their details include a plan to dedicate one penny of the state's 5-cent sales tax to shared revenue, while also allowing something that Milwaukee, the city, and county have really wanted to do, was impose a new state sales tax. Now, according to Assembly Republicans, this would get every community in the state at least a 10% minimum funding increase. And the new funds, though, would have to be directed to specific services like public safety, transportation, public works, etc. Now, there's a lot of things that are attached to this plan, too, like I mentioned, that you have been reporting on. All communities, of what you're hearing, would have to meet somewhat of a maintenance of efforts requirements for their spending when it comes to police, fire, and emergency medical services. It would also, what we're hearing, it would require schools also to collect and maintain statistics on crimes that happened on school grounds. Now, there's also a lot of other policy proposals that could be in this plan that you have reported on, JR, that are sounds like a lot of similar bills that Republicans have talked about for quite some time. Before we get into the weeds of what this means for local communities, let's first just hear from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. There was a series of press events held across the state. It started at the Capitol in the morning, where a lot of Republicans didn't know many details of how this would impact Milwaukee. We found out later on a lot more. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss basically called this the single largest investment in local governments. And he did it in collaboration with Mayor Cavalier Johnson and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, something that we haven't seen, too. Both sides, all three sides coming together. So let's hear from all of them of how they're responding to this package, and we'll dive into much more details about it.
All across the state, we have heard from our local elected officials, county officials, those who work in city government and town government, of the challenges that have occurred over the course of decades in their local funding. What we're announcing today is the single largest investment in local governments in the history of Wisconsin. That is something that all of us should be proud of because it's being done in a collaborative Wisconsin bipartisan way.
There are areas here where there are disagreements, but what remains is that we continue to discuss these matters and work together in a bipartisan, collaborative approach to solve the problems. That said, the progress we've made is notable. In fact, it is unprecedented in modern history. The discussions have required open-mindedness and have also required diligence on all parts of this agreement. And fundamentally, there is an understanding that Milwaukee's future is important to the entire state of Wisconsin, not just here locally, not just here in the city, but Milwaukee's future is important to the entire state of Wisconsin.
After years of political bickering on this issue, this is an actionable step forward in making government work for the people that it serves and securing the future of Milwaukee County government and the economic future of our entire region. And so we are going to continue to work on a solution that prioritizes raising local dollars to solve local issues without a budgetary cost to the state of Wisconsin that doesn't compromise resources for other communities as well.
So this has been highly anticipated. We know local communities have not seen an increase in their shared revenue for many, many years. They've been begging for something like this. But is this the perfect package? I mean, no. I think all sides are agreeing to that, that this is going to be give and take on a lot of people's ends to get this done.
So let's separate the two. Let's talk about shared revenue first and the Milwaukee piece second. The shared revenue piece, so if you take one penny of every 5 cents, the sales tax, and put it into this fund, it'd be a segregated fund. That means it'd be a pot of money dedicated solely to aid to local governments. It'd be just shy of $1.6 billion in the second year of the budget that would go out the door. Now, do some basic math. We right now have a county municipal aid program that is about $750 million. They're talking about $227 million that go into this new formula. What that is we used to have a formula for shared revenue that included like per capita, government spending, all these kinds of things. It basically went away in 2004. And your payments were frozen to basically what you got the year before. You haven't a formula for that pot of money at 750 since then. This 227 would be divvied up in a way that would benefit disproportionately smaller communities. It's Republicans who are proposing this. Republicans represent smaller communities for the most part, right? Not the big cities. They're saying we want our fair share for our communities. Our towns aren't getting as much money as the cities are. So that'd be divvied by a different way. Then you'd put in that pot of money the personal property tax. It's a tax business pay on equipment. We've repealed a portion of it. There's a bill right now to repeal the rest of it. They want to backfill those payments to local governments with this money. Then you have computer aids. We have long as a state exempted from property tax of certain computers. You would have that aid covered by this. So it'd basically take all these little pots of money that we now send as a state to local governments to pay offset things that they lose from property taxes. It all come from there. So that's that piece. The Milwaukee piece is different and way more complex and has way more political pieces to it for a couple reasons. One, Milwaukee is desperate. These sales taxes, if you look at it, it is right now Milwaukee County has a 0.5% sales tax, like most counties have. You would add 0.375% for the county sales tax and have a separate sales tax of 2% for the city. The combined impact on a sale in the city of Milwaukee would be 7.875%. To put that in perspective, Minneapolis or Chicago is about 10, Minneapolis is about 8, Detroit's about 6. So we would not be out of line with big cities in the Midwest. However, you're asking a county with a number of financial challenges to have its citizens to vote to increase their taxes, and in a significant way, that could be an issue. You also have an interesting dynamic here where Republicans, the Republican brand is don't raise taxes. We are not just about not raise, we are about cutting taxes. The Republicans are driving discussion to allow the biggest county in the state to raise taxes. For that, there's a price of admission. That includes, for example, you would no longer be allowed, the city of Milwaukee, to use property taxes you raise to expand or operate the streetcar. There was a 2040 plan released this week by the city that wants to expand that operation. That would not happen if this goes as is. I've seen the framework of the deal that includes, for example, requiring the city and county going forward to have a 2/3 vote of their boards to increase spending unless you're adding people to create efficiencies to cut spending. There would be school resource officers required at Milwaukee Public Schools. You'd have to have statewide reporting of incidents on campuses. The list is extensive, and it basically is a Republican wish list of what they wanted to do to Milwaukee and local governments, but couldn't because of Governor Evers' veto pen. There's also stuff in the shared revenue package. For example, we have quarries in Wisconsin where aggregate is created to do road projects. Under the shared revenue proposal, there would be a restriction on local governments putting regulations on quarries. When they could operate, all night long, for example, if they were doing aggregate to go do an emergency repair or for a road project that had to have overnight repair work. So these are a lot of stuff thrown in here. What's noticeable is Milwaukee has been very quiet about these, I don't call them punitive, but like these requirements, these restrictions, these putting the screws to Milwaukee a little bit, say, we don't like how you've been doing business, we want you to change. The mayor and county executive did not raise an objection during the news conference Thursday evening about what's going on. They didn't really talk about it. All they said was, there's a work in progress.
Right.
We are still negotiating things. There's a reason for that. The other alternative is very bad, right? They've asked for this money for years. They're filing proposals to talk about it. What's the alternative? If there is no sales tax for Milwaukee, what's the alternative? It could be slash services. I mean, you're talking like a financial Armageddon.
Right.
So for them, These provisions may be what you have to swallow to get what you need. Now, Governor Evers is involved in these conversations, so are Senate Republicans. I have been told this is not a done deal yet. Robin Voss said Thursday evening, it's 98% there. Senate Republicans have only said, hey, we're still talking. The governor didn't really say anything about it. He met with Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu on Wednesday before this was released publicly. They're engaged in conversations. The question is, what will he accept, right, in the end? Republicans want these to go in separate in bills before the budget. They want to know the governor's going to sign this before they build a budget around this or have this be a major component to it. There's a lot of moving pieces. Everything I've told you that's in the package right now could come out, essentially, right?
Right.
Who knows what's going to make the final deal?
We still don't know the structure. We have kind of the framework. We have your reporting and kind of these tidbits of basically, like you said, a Republican wish list of what they want. You listed off a few of these. There would also be new restrictions on expanding like Milwaukee's streetcar. They would have to agree to a new pension state system. And a lot of the sales tax revenue, the city and county would have to be required to put that money towards their pension obligations. Now, the rising costs of the city's pension woes, the amount is expected to grow to $71 million to $139 million on average over the next 5 years starting this year. So that is also the fiscal cliff that we have heard all the time that is a big issue for the city and county right now. But asking voters, it is going to be a really tough sell of what I'm hearing and talking to people. How do you just say to voters, some who are in some of, you know, the lowest income areas of the city, saying, hey, we're going to raise your taxes for you to pay for our problems. Yeah. And that is going to be a sticking point, I think. Mayor Johnson did say yesterday, he spoke to another reporter from CBS 58 who was there, saying that he doesn't think it would pass through referendum. That's what's going to be the challenge, but we still don't know if it will be through referendum. There's still, like you said, the Senate we haven't heard from. The governor, at least publicly, haven't really talked much because a lot of Democrats are saying, well, I want to see what's really in the details. And the devil is always in the details.
And the sales tax money for the city and county would go directly to pension obligations. And what you would do is the tax would last for 30 years or until the obligations are satisfied, whichever comes earlier.
First, yeah.
And what you would do is all new employees for the city and county would move from the separate systems they have, which the only ones in the state that have their own systems, to the state system. It would be, as the mayor said yesterday, a soft close of these pension programs. The city, if you had a revenue that came in from the sales tax enough to cover all your costs, you'd have to take that what was left to go toward police and fire, increase the number of officers you have on the force. So there's that piece. There is a hope among Milwaukee officials that I've talked to that they can convince the Republican lawmakers, the governor, to allow enabling legislation, which means the Common Council and the county board will be able to vote to impose the taxes rather than having it go to referendum. Now, Robin Voss talked about, hey, this is how we do things. We go to referendum. What happens, though, if they go to referendum? They could do it anytime. They could have it spring or fall or a special election, whenever they want to do it. If they go to referendum and it fails, what do we do a year from now, right, as a state? What's Milwaukee do a year from now? That's why I'm talking about some of these things which seem kind of onerous on the city and the county. They're not really complaining about it because they know, like, we don't have much of a choice. If this is the price of business, we might have to swallow some of this stuff. Now, maybe not all of it. Maybe the governor says, I can't do this or that. Maybe they say, hey, can you at least take this away from this package? But, again, there is no good alternative for the city and the county to fix this problem, because they have, yes, they'll get more shared revenue, but not enough to cover these problems. They have caps on property taxes. They can't go raise taxes needed to cover the cost. I mean, bankruptcy is a real scenario out there. And the question becomes, if they go bankrupt, what's that mean for the state? Like, county government is basically an arm of state government. If the county goes bankrupt, we as a state kind of own that, people argue to me. The city's a little bit different, maybe a little different story, but we haven't dealt with that in Wisconsin in years.
Right.
So it is a real worry about what the alternative is if you don't do these sales taxes.
I think the timeline, too, is important, right? Because they want to get this almost figured out before the budget crafting season starts. Yes, it's going to start next week, no doubt. Mm-hmm. It's a long process that happens over several weeks. But they also want to know how much they're going to be dedicating towards this whole shared revenue formula, too, to know a certain amount when crafting the budget, too. Another piece of this puzzle, too, is about innovation. We heard Voss towards the end of last year talk about innovation. I want to do that. But he didn't really tell us details on what that meant. We're now learning that if to communities that are nearby, want to start sharing services like police and firefighters and merge them, they would get a bigger piece of the pie, basically. Now, not everyone is happy with this plan. I think one of the most outspoken persons or individuals that I spoke to was Paul Farrell, the Waukesha County executive, who said this is simply not going to be enough money for us to even meet inflation costs and all these other problems that we're trying to avoid in the future. So there's going to be some give and take from all, but it's not, I guess, impressing everyone from both sides of the aisle.
And the Innovation Fund, it's a $300 million one-time transfer to another segregated fund. So let's say Community A and B combine services. Mm-hmm. You would save money from combining. You'd also get extra money from the state to pay for that service for 3 years to say, okay, we're going to reward you for doing this. Again, pilot program, 3 years, see how it goes. There have been talks about using much as $1 billion of the surplus of $7.1 billion to put toward this. This is where they end up at $300 million. We'll see what's going on with that.
All right. We also got some more details about what tax cuts could look here in Wisconsin and for Wisconsinites. During the beginning of the week, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu testified about his flat tax proposal. Now, I think he kind of acknowledged that he doesn't have the, quote, the right governor to get this passed right now. But it kind of also just broadened the conversations on where are we at with negotiations. So LeMahieu said that even though, you know, he knows his proposal is doomed for Evers' veto pen, who said he clearly would veto it, there appears to be growing interest among Republicans on cutting taxes for all income brackets. LeMahieu believes that there's enough support to pass the first 2 years of his flat tax proposal, which does include tax cuts for all income brackets, but it doesn't fully implement a single tax rate. Mm. So that was kind of like the tidbit we learned. We also grabbed Evers asking him about this because once again, we heard from LeMahieu saying that, hey, you know, if the governor doesn't like this plan, let's sit down at the table, let's negotiate, let's get something where we can all agree to. So let's hear from both of them right now.
Generally, I think both caucuses are supportive of reducing all tax rates and making a more simpler, flatter tax code, whether that's, you know, in the budget the first 2 years of my tax plan. I'm hoping that as we start in the budget process that the governor's willing to work with us on some areas because there's a lot of things that are important to him and there's a lot of things that are important to us. And it's going to take, I think, compromise on both sides.
Well, I appreciate his willingness to compromise. I think that's, to start with, that's really important. Second of all, look forward to seeing him.
One thing that we know for sure whose plan is also not going to get across the finish line is Governor Tony Evers, who targeted his tax relief to low to middle income earners that was included in his budget proposal.
Yeah, the Joint Finance Co-Chairs put out a memo to members today saying, look, we're going to start on Tuesday, our first vote's on the budget. The first thing you're going to do is take, they identified 545 provisions that Evers proposed. We're going to nix all of them one shot. One of those is the middle income tax cut, a 10% credit of your tax liability. About $840 million, the price tag on that. They're trying to tell members, once we take these things out on Tuesday, they're off limits for discussions going forward. Now, minority members, Democrats, will do everything they can
happen
to talk about those
things. They're going to still bring it up, yeah.
Also worth noting that for all stuff they're taking out, there are a couple of interesting things that are staying in. At least they could be discussed. For example, there's a child care program that Evers had proposed to take state money to make this subsidy program, you create the COVID funds, permanent. That's at least sticking around for now. Now, they may change it dramatically, but it's still there. The $10 million a year for early literacy for kids, that's at least surviving the first vote. Again, they could rework it dramatically. Right. And there are quarry regulations. Evers also proposed in his budget restrictions on local governments saying you can't do quarry activities at night for a road project. That's staying there, also in the shared revenue bill. So quarries might get something done in the next next few weeks.
Right.
So
and
watch that.
For people to know, it's like the recreational marijuana that Governor Evers pulls, that's stripped out, expanding Badger Care, his plan for renovations at AmFam Field to extend the Brewers' lease, shared revenue tax cuts, the list goes on and on. But this was expected. This is how they craft the budget each year.
They took out 380-ish items 2 years ago and 190 4 years ago. So it's growing every biennium.
He tries to keep sneaking as many priorities as he can. All right, let's also recap earlier in this week, the Assembly was in to pass pass what it was another themed session on unemployment. We've talked about this on the show for the past several weeks. It was a series of bills to kind of transform the state's unemployment insurance program. The chamber also approved legislation that would bar local governments from using public funds for guaranteed income programs, and another one that would require DHS to review the eligibility of Badger Care Plus participants every 6 months. All of these bills are going to be vetoed, I should say, expected to be vetoed, because many of them are the same ones that have been passed in previous sessions.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to an event that happened on Monday. I was on a panel asking a series of questions with two other journalists to Senator Ron Johnson. This was one of the first times I think reporters were able to ask him questions kind of post the midterms last year. Of course, he's been doing some busy work in D.C. There's a lot going on as well. So we asked him about specifically abortion and many other issues. But one of the key sticking points out of this conversation with him at the Milwaukee Press Club is that Ron Johnson renewed calls for an abortion referendum, which would allow voters to weigh in on about 10 questions. He said he wanted people to do kind of ranked choicing. You can pick about three about when you believe at one point of pregnancy an abortion should be legal in Wisconsin. It's important to note, these types of referendums cannot change state law. It would have to be through a constitutional amendment, which we saw with the bail laws. That just recently passed, but that is a long and lengthy process. Mm-hmm. It has to go through two consecutive sessions to even get to that point. But just a statewide referendum, voters cannot change our laws. So this was him kind of just also talking about, again, the big problem for Republicans remains the issue of abortion. How are they going to address this? We know we have a new state Supreme Court with liberals in the majority come August with Jana Protasiewicz being sworn in. But still, in the time being, it's going to be an issue for them because they don't know how to address it. So Ron Johnson kind of talked about that, touted his plan to do it. Let's just take a listen and we'll dive a little bit more into it.
This question that we have to decide is, at what point does society have the responsibility to protect life? I proposed a one-time single-issue referendum. I wouldn't want this on the ballot with any other issue. And leading up to that referendum, my suggestion would be have an intensive education campaign on all sides. One of the things I did, knowing it was coming, is I laid out the truth about my beliefs. I'm for contraceptive. I'm for in vitro fertilization. I would never prosecute a woman with an unplanned child. So I laid out all those facts, so it'd be more difficult for Democrats to lie about me. I'm trying to provide leadership in terms of how we can finally put this very divisive, profound moral issue behind us as a society, and let we the people decide. I don't want to impose my view on anybody else. I don't.
Now, I guess the abortion isn't going to be somewhat of a problem for Ron Johnson. He's here for the next 6 years, but he kind of encouraged Republicans to act on it and somehow, like through this referendum. But like I stated, it's going to be a tricky situation if Republicans even want to do that.
I wouldn't hold my breath. Remember the bill that Robin Voss and others proposed to add exceptions will not get a hearing in the Senate. So not a great sign for any changes.
Right. And we even asked the senator, well, where do you stand on this issue? And he's like, well, I'm not going to. It's going to be a ballot, so I'm not going to share my views. But
I think the biggest question about abortion Wisconsin is, will the Supreme Court vote on the abortion ban before the 2024 election?
Right.
And if it's overturned, does that impact how voters feel in 2024? A big question to kind of ponder.
All right, let's get to stock picks this week. And if you were kind of just really relieved, if you got rid of all those campaign ads and Wisconsin once again being the most expensive state Supreme Court race, well, get ready because there's already some new ads airing for President Biden this week in the swing state.
Yeah, well, after the Supreme Court race in April, there were some national folks saying, wait, look what happened in Wisconsin, like 11-point blowout. What's going on? Is this really a swing state? And I was like, hold on,
hold the phone.
There were 1.5 million people voting in April. There'll be like 3 million plus next November. And so sure enough, we have three TV buys this week, all of them showing that Wisconsin is firmly on that list. We have Biden's first TV buy includes Wisconsin. Two PACs endorse or backing him include Wisconsin. And really, the map, it's four states to some people, it's eight to others. The four I can tell you for sure are going to matter: Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia. Now, what's interesting is, looking at those, Wisconsin has been this like edge of the knife state for a long time. Other than in 2008 and 2012, each of the last, so those four of the last six presidential races have been decided by 20,000 votes or less. Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona, they've been going bluer, right? So whether it's because of Trump, demographic change, whatever, they kind of get in a little more shade of blue. Wisconsin's like this anomaly where we're always stuck right here. And so I'd have some Democrats argue that of the swing states that are out there, Biden's worried about Wisconsin the most because it's such a stubborn one demographically. We have fewer college graduates than the national average. We're a little bit whiter, like a lot of places, right? We're getting a little older. Those in some ways say we should be getting redder, but our diversity is also expanding. Green Bay, I believe, has gone from like 1% black to maybe 6. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it shows you that we're kind of changing in interesting ways in Wisconsin. Anyway, bottom line is we're going to matter. You're going to see a lot of TV ads, and they're already starting right now.
Right. Mixed this week is Ron DeSantis, who hasn't officially announced a presidential bid, but there was some new poll numbers ranking him in Wisconsin.
Public opinion strategy, a Republican firm put out a poll. First one I've seen really of kind of Wisconsin and Biden DeSantis and Biden Trump, looking at the dynamic. And it shows like what we see all over the country, where Trump is doing way better than DeSantis in GOP national primary polls. But DeSantis is better than Trump in head-to-heads in state polls, the general election. Now, there's some obvious reasons why. Trump is a known factor. In this poll, he is upside down by a pretty good margin. Well, DeSantis is, though, as well. He was 35% positive, 40 negative, for a favorable, unfavorable, I should say. So it shows you that on one hand, he has room to grow. On the other, there's room to define him. And so Trump, what he's doing right now, is nailing DeSantis in TV ads, trying to drive up his negatives. There's that. Big caveat with all this, okay? Number one, this is basically a function of name ID and in anybody but Biden or Trump mentality for voters. I mean, let's face it, people haven't been real big fans of Joe Biden's. His job approval numbers are not very good. They don't like Trump. DeSantis is an unknown quantity who's an alternative. But in elections, you don't vote against the incumbent or an unknown alternative. You vote the incumbent versus the challenger. So if it's Biden and Trump, you kind of give Biden a bit of an edge right now in Wisconsin, right now, even with bad poll numbers, even the economy kind of on shaky legs, because we've been through that race before. DeSantis' challenge is how can he be a dynamic, well-liked alternative, not just this guy who's the unknown, well, I don't like these two guys, so maybe I'll give you a chance.
Right, exactly. It'll be an interesting race to watch. And then falling this week is Patricia Hansen, who dismissed charges by John Tate, who was the former kind of embattled parole commissioner here in Wisconsin.
Talked about Tate last week, these felony charges that he helped create a job on the Racine City Council, this violence prevention coordinator, and then he landed the job later on. And she charged him with a felony, saying he used his office to basically benefit himself. There was a preliminary hearing this week, and a judge dismissed the charge. Now, you got to understand, usually a preliminary hearing is like a formality. You show up, they talk a little bit, you go.
Yeah.
It's rare to see a felony charge like this dropped immediately. The motion filed by Tate's attorney, though, said, look, yeah, he helped create the job, but part of the crime you're alleging is that he helped give him the job. He was in no way involved in the hiring process. So, yeah, the average person may look kind of funny that a guy in the city council is hired by the city council, essentially the city, for a job, but he didn't make the call. Ergo, without that piece of the crime, there is no crime. Judge said, yeah, you're right, it's done. This is major egg on her face. Now, dismissed now. It was dismissed without prejudice, means she could refile if she wanted to. Her office has been pretty silent since this happened, but that's not a great look as a prosecutor when you charge an office holder or something and it goes away so quickly. Should note that while Tate had accepted the job back in the fall, he actually never took it. So he at times is pushing off taking the job until at least his term was over. His term ended on the 17th, I think, of April. But he never took the job. So now he says he got energy and try and win back his reputation and Racine kind of do some good.
Well, all right. That was a very quick, I guess, because that doesn't really happen that all, especially in Wisconsin, too. They like to take your time. All right. That will do it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
We'll see you next week.
This program was brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.